Thank you. Well, let me again welcome you all out to Calvary Baptist Church and thank you for being here on this Father's Day. And like I said, it is so special to have my own dad here this morning. I appreciate him teaching me and my brothers the worth ethic that we've got. As you well know, I don't punch a time clock when I go to work. If I go in at 10 or 8 or 6 or 5 or whatever, I get paid the same whether I'm there or not. But I've always tried to be punctual and be there. If I told the employees I'm coming in at 7, I'm going to be there a little bit early or at least straight up 7 o'clock. And we grew up really, really hard as far as the work and the hard work and the worth ethic was always instilled in us to do that. And I appreciate that. It made 5 boys a lot stronger men. And I looked over at Tam. I'd read this quote this week that said this. This is for you fathers. If you raise your children, and I don't have any grandchildren yet, but if you raise your children, you can spoil your grandchildren. But if you spoil your children, you will have to raise your grandchildren. And I believe that to be a whole lot of truth. There's a whole lot of parents today that's having to raise their grandchildren. So be a parent. They've got enough friends, believe me. I ain't saying you can't be your friend. I'm sure you and Brian are closest to friends, but you're his dad. Book of Mark, chapter number 2 this morning. The book of Mark. It's not a Father's Day message as you might think it, but I'm going to preach a message this morning on overcoming our obstacles. You say, I don't have any obstacles. Well, come with me and you can help me get around mine or overcome mine. We've all got obstacles. I don't care who you are. In the Christian walk, we've got obstacles. As a pastor, we've got obstacles. As parents, we do definitely have obstacles in raising our children. We're trying to raise them in a godly way, and then there's a lot of secularism being taught to them and teaching them that man come from a monkey and from primates rather than being created by Almighty God. So, you know, there's obstacles in every facet of life. Little kids raised in socioeconomic deprived areas of the inner city, they've got an obstacle to overcome. You take somebody that raised up in a red mud, dirt clod field of Thurman, North Carolina, and then to be able to have an education and to be able to do anything in this walk of life, to gain an education and to be able to read and bless God, then get saved by His grace and be able to study and preach His Word. That's overcoming obstacles. And I'm glad for the fact that people can still overcome obstacles. Even in the Bible, whenever you had the 12 tribes, you break that down, you'll go in and you'll start seeing different races, and people have to overcome racism and have to overcome their gender. There's certain jobs that women don't do, can't do, shouldn't do, but yet they're able to do those because they overcome certain obstacles because if that was what their desire was. But anyway, there's all kinds of obstacles, and I just want you to think about this morning in your spiritual walk. There's obstacles to you getting to Christ, and there's obstacles to you getting others to Christ. Satan hates us. Okay, those of us that are already saved by God's grace, Satan hates us. Troy, you're about to become a daddy early next year. Or what? I don't even know what your due date is. When's your due date, Miss Carrie? July what? January. You don't have to go till next July. That would be like a 12-month incubation. Okay. We won't go there 13 months. But in January, you'll take on the roles of that of a parent. And there's going to be obstacles to you being a good dad. There are going to be demands on your time, and there are going to be demands on you as husband and wife. And I want to preach this morning with just a little while with overcoming our obstacles. I want to invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word. We've got a bunch of great, great dads here. And I'm talking about when you look around, you see these godly families. And my goodness, I'm in admiration of you, and I see how that you've done it. And man, I want to do the same thing. I see I'm almost just put aside by how good God has been to this group of people. I mean, it seems like we're favored. I know we're not favored above other groups, but man, sometimes I look around, I see y'all, and I'm like, wow, we are a blessed, blessed, blessed bunch of people. We're in the second chapter of the book of Mark this morning, and we're looking at this man that is a paralytic and being paralyzed, and not being able to go in life and do as he might. And I can only look down the aisle and I see our dear sister in her wheelchair. And I would have to say that sometimes that would be an obstacle to you. That even this morning as I was opening the door and Clay was bringing you in, and I said, Clay, are you going to take her down the stairs? And Clay's like, well, she said Clay might like to push me down the stairs, but she was going to come in and go back to, I guess, the ladies' room where the ladies teach. But that has to become somewhat of an obstacle, and you've had to learn to adjust. And I think about, where's Brother Larry and Miss Marlene at? Are they here tonight, today? I know they were here. When your dear sister, where's Marlene? Oh, usually y'all sit together as families. When your dear sister had her accident and it severed her spinal cord and she became a paralytic, what, from the chest down or whatever that it was, she's as much alive today as she ever was. Her brain still works. She's still a mom. She's still all those things. She's still a sister. She's still a child of the King. She's still all those things that she ever was. But she's had to relearn to adjust and overcome certain obstacles. And I want you to see that this man has clear obstacles regarding his faith. It's noised in the scriptures here. It says that it's noised that the Lord is in the house. Now, what's a paralytic man three blocks down? The word has gone out and permeated the community that something's going on down to house, Brother Joe. And from what I can gather, that man from Nazareth, that Nazarene himself, Jesus Christ, is there. And bless God, he's preaching and he's teaching the word of God. And we heard how that he come through the community and how that blinded eyes have now been made to see and all these things. And Troy, you can't help but think in his mind, maybe he's thinking in himself, I wonder if he could help me. But he's got a clear obstacle. But God used four people. God's going to use somebody here today. Let's read our scripture and then I'll let you be seated. The Bible said, and again he entered in verse number one, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they coming to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, I preached a message here some years ago about get the clay out of the way. You might even remember that message. And the obstacle between that man and those folks was that terracotta clay tile roof that would have been on. And the Bible said they had to break that up. And the Bible said that the Lord deals with a brokenness. He comes to us of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. But that's not necessarily the message today. It can factor in. It'll probably be a part of it. But our clay, in the book of Jeremiah, he relates to Israel as being the clay and he being the potter. And that all through the scripture, it relates to our carnality or our own flesh as being the clay and he is the master potter. All the clay has to do is yield to the potter's touch. So it would do us well to get the clay out of the way, to get rid of criticisms and quit being so cynical and quit being so prideful and arrogant and quit being hateful and lustful and covetousness and all the things that we see. It's easy to see a thief. He's a thief. He stole something. It's easy to see the sins of the flesh a lot of time, but I mean, that heart's wicked. The Bible said it's deceitful and it's desperately wicked. It's those matters of the heart that sometimes really cause obstacles to people. Let's listen. When they could not come in, they tore up the roof. And verse number five, and when Jesus saw their faith, and it didn't say the man in the bed's faith, it said when the Lord saw their faith, that he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.
And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all baptized and glorified God, saying, we've never seen it, saw it on this fashion. Brother Ryan. Seated today, has anybody in here ever overcome obstacles? Was there anything ever set in your path that, I mean, you almost with assuredness, you knew that that was what was going to sidetrack you. That was what was going to derail you. It could have been a negative report from the doctor. You were expecting the good news and you were hopeful that it was going to be positive and everything's going to come out okay. And bless God, you're going to leave there rejoicing. And all of a sudden the report comes in and it's not a positive report. It's a negative. It's a bleak report. And that doctor told you that it was cancer or that it was this. Brother Jody, that's an obstacle to our faith. It's an obstacle to ourselves. It's an obstacle. And many of us have to overcome these obstacles. And like I said, we've got people here today, Brother Robbie. There's no doubt in my mind you brought some of those little children in today that are going to have insurmountable objects within themselves that they're going to have to overcome and have these obstacles to them. Bless God, I'm glad that God's got some people of faith. The Bible said whenever he saw their faith, Brother Robbie, God's going to see your faith and Chris's faith and Tammy's faith and Jody's faith and Jamie's faith. He's going to see those that volunteer to pick up those children and bring them into the house of God. And every single one of us are going to have obstacles, but some of them just seem a little bit bigger than others. Now, I want to preach on this fact this morning that, Joe, you can overcome your obstacles. And if you were to sit back and rightly divide the word of God, you're going to find out that you're stronger than you really think you are. You're braver than you think you are. You can take up the courage of a Joshua. You could take up the faith of a Abraham. You could take up the willingness to work of a Noah and start driving your pegs. You can do all of those things by looking forward through Paul's writing to the little church at Philippi when he writes that brief little four-page letter or that little postcard, Brother John, and he focuses in on the 13th verse of the fourth chapter whenever he says, I can do all things. But bless God, it does not stop there. You and yourself are weak. I am in myself and in my flesh is weak. Romans chapter number 7 tells me just how weak that I am. But bless God, the latter part of that same verse that I just quoted said that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now therein lies our great strength. And if you're going to overcome these obstacles of life, Brother Danny, if we're going to overcome these things, Brother John, and do anything great for God, and I believe God's going to use you greatly. I believe he's going to use me greatly. Chris, I believe he's going to use you greatly. And if I didn't believe that, I'd go ahead and get down. Why would I believe that God's going to use me greatly? Brother Preston, I believe God's going to use you greatly. I really believe that. I don't know where you'll work. I don't know what you'll do, but bless God, God's got to work for each and every one of us. If I didn't believe that, it would be to undermine the very power of the God that saved us. I believe God's got something for us, but you better mark it down. You're going to face some obstacles. They're going to be there. Brother John, I know some of your obstacles. And God's working on them even now and giving you the grace and the power to go on ahead of those. I'm telling you what, my friends, God's good to us. So first off, I want you to look, those that are marking up your Bibles and looking, I want you to look at the condition of the paralytic to start with. This man couldn't get down there if he tried to. Why? Because he is a paralytic. He is sick of the palsy. He can't walk. And if he can't walk, how are you going to get down there? Bless God, Brother Jody. It can be noised all day long that the Lord is in the house. It can be noised all day long, Brother Tam, that God's saving sinners up here at Calvary and that we're taking them through the baptistry and God's blessing and God's moving. God's working. But bless God, if you've got somebody down there that can't get here, I don't care how much they hear about it. I don't care how often they hear about it. I don't care what goes on down here and how great that it is. Bless God, Brother Robbie, if they can't get here, it's not going to help them. Am I right or wrong? It has to be right. If they can't get here, Brother Tim, it can be noise throughout the community. It can go up in every hill and holler, every little trailer park, every mansion near Canterbury. It doesn't matter where it's at, Brother Greg. But if they cannot physically get here, what good is that to them that Jesus is doing a mighty work over here? Not a whole lot of good to them. So whenever I look at the condition of the sick man, somebody's got to help him. Is that right or wrong? Somebody going to have to show favor. Does Jude 22 then not factor into that? It's not Jude 1:22. It's just Jude 22 because there's only one in the book of Jude. The Bible said, Brother Woody, and of some, what's the next two words? Having compassion. Brother Chris, we got to show compassion. Brother Larry, we got to show compassion. How in those people in the prisons that you go to, how are they going to hear about God except that you go in there and preach Jesus unto them? And how are you going to go in there not working a secular job, not having money to go and put gas in that vehicle, get back and forth from here to Georgia or here to Florida or Alabama? How are you going to go tell them except that he uses the local church to do just that? I mean, out of some, having compassion, and what's the next two, Brother Woody? Making a difference. That's what we happen. That's what the condition of society all around us tells us, bless God, Brother Robbie, that there is a God in heaven and he loves his people. He wants to help his people, but sometimes we're callous to the fact that God is going to use us to do just that. The condition. What's the condition of the paralytic? He can't get there. What's the condition of this community? What's the condition of our schools? What's the condition of the climate of our nation as a whole? I mean, we're fighting liberalism and conservatism head to head all the time. You got the liberals fighting the conservatives all the time. The Democrats against the Republicans against the Democrats. Brother Scott, ain't nothing going on because it's always a deadlock. Bless God, we need a breath of God on this country that would get people to say, for the greater cause of humanity, we need to do something. Bless God, we're at a standstill. The condition needs to be factored in, Brother Ryan, because the very condition is one of those things that becomes an obstacle to us. We're in a climate that we're in a climate of hate. We're in a climate of hatred in America. We're in a climate, I mean, and it goes all the way down to the family units and into the churches. And if you're not careful, it'll come right into your own heart. And you yourself are going to become a hate-filled person. Miss Reba, God doesn't want us to be hateful toward each other or hate other people. He doesn't want us bitter. He doesn't want us to have all these things, Brother Jody. He wants us to be able to love. God is love. And if he's in you, Troy, you should love because God is love. So the first thing is to look at the condition of the paralytic. Tam, I don't care how good God is. I don't care how big he is in this building, how many souls are saved down here. If nobody can get here, for whatever the climate, the control, the condition around, bless God, what must we do then, Robbie? We must get in that vehicle. And Brother Joe, go to them and knock on their door and say, I want to tell you about something. Not only is Jesus in the house, that's the noise, but guess what? He sent me up here to come get you. He sent me up here to tell you about it, that you can come in with us and be a part of us. Chris, that's one of the conditions. We've got to go get them. Did he not tell us in the scriptures to go out into the highways and hedges and what? What's the next word? Compel them. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Bless God, we need to take the gospel to them. This is probably going to hit some of the younger people. It can actually hit some of the older of us as well. Folks, be careful who you hobnob with. Is that a term that y'all use here in Wilkes County? Hobnob? What's hobnobbing, Terry? Running around with. Who's that guy? you better. You're sitting with. No, you're okay, really. Terry's good. You're not particular who you sit with, are you? It's noise at Jesus in the house. Condition is a man that's down there. It's paralyzed. Can't get there. Four go get him. They bring him up here. Now there's another obstacle. What's the next obstacle? The crowd. I read this week and there was, well, it's happened in Statesville. It's happened all around. Police officers being shot. I mean, this without regard. That one Statesville officer shot in the back walking on patrol just yesterday. Right here is two retired troopers and a retired assistant police chief. Here's another retired police chief. I salute y'all, but society hates you as a whole. They do not respect authority. And the Bible teaches us to respect them that have the rule and respect them that's over us, the principalities, give regard. And we don't do that anymore. But here we are. We've got a crowd about the door. That crowd is so much, Brother Joe, that as they're in there, they've come to hear the Lord. I mean, Jesus is in the house. And the Bible said, not only is he in there, he's preaching the word of God. And there's a great crowd around there. Let me make sure that you're running with the right crowd. Because the crowd that you run with will either part the company and let you get into the Lord Jesus Christ, or will invite you in, or will then rub off on you, knowing that iron sharpeneth iron, and that's the way that it works. You ever heard of a fro? You take the knife, which is metal, and you run it against the fro, which is metal, and iron doth sharpen iron. And that's the Bible said what the way of the Word of God is as it comes to friends and our acquaintances. Who are you running with? Is the crowd an obstacle? You kids that go to school, the public schools, is that an obstacle to your faith? If that's an obstacle to your faith, then bless God, maybe the church as a whole here at Calvary needs to look at some type of a cohort or some type of a scholarship to get you out of the secularism and get you into a private school or a Christian school, or even do something here ourselves. I've been praying about some of these things, Brother Woody, but the crowd is more likely to hurt Avery and Mackenzie and my children and your children. The crowd that we're with is more likely to harm them than it is to help them. It's hard to be different in this world. Why? Because if you've ever been around a farming situation, I remember we raised chickens and pigs and guineas, and we had peacocks, and I even had a pet skunk one time. That's a true story. I don't know, Ann Gross give us that thing. Lord, help us. We had everything. But I did notice this, that in the chicken house, Brother Ryan, if there was a chicken in there and that thing got a sore spot on it, you know what would happen to that chicken? What would happen? Every other chicken in the house is going to peck that thing. And that's the way it is in society with the little children. If there's anything different about them, maybe they've got a social disorder. Maybe they've got a little something different about them. Maybe they're not a type A personality. Maybe they're a little bit introverted. Or maybe they're this or that. Let me tell you, those obstacles of those kids are going to have to be overcome. Why? Because the crowd that they're with is going to tear them down. And it's just that way. But in this situation, they're coming. They've gone to get him. They brought him. But they can't get in the door because there's a crowd in there. And verse number 4 said, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. They took him up the little side steps, went up on the roof. They broke up the clay tile that was up there. So I guess you could go in there and then say they had to get the clay out of the way. They had to get the carnality. They had to move beyond the I'm afraid to knock on the door kind of situation. You know, whenever Brother Steve, when we were talking just a little while back, you laid that question out. What is the reason that most people don't witness? What is the reason that most people don't share their faith? And what was the number one, Brother Steve? It was fear. Fear of having the door slammed. Fear of what somebody will think. Let me tell you, my friends, if you're back there and you need to get out of the pew and you need to come forward, maybe to accept Christ or to do business with God Almighty, my goodness, ask the one beside you if you can get out. Chances are that they'll come with you. And that's the way that it is. Obstacles need to be overcome. And that greater one would be fear. What are they going to think of me if I do this? What are they going to think of us if we do that? We do it as churches, Brother Jody. What are they going to think of us if we do this? What are they going to think of us if we go down that pathway? Bless God, Brother Woody. We ought to stop worrying about what people think and worry about what God tells us to do and do that with wholeheartedness. Yeah. So we keep going through here. Now there's a crowd there. So the condition, we had the crowd around them. Then we had the carnality of the clay. And then I want to go on down here in verse number 6 and 7 and say something about this for just a little bit. I'm going to get to verse number 5 before I get there, because this is what happens. Bible said when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see what just happened? There's a man that's sick. He's let down through the roof. I can see the four, Brother Greg, holding their big rope. They've tied it around the edge of his tattered bed. And there of his bedroll, it's not a Sealy posturpedic mattress, it's a bedroll, it's nothing more than a quilt. And Brother Chris, I can see they've tied the ropes on it, and here comes the man that's sick of the palsy, that's a paralytic, and he comes right down. Maybe the Lord Jesus Christ is a sinner, and he got people maybe sitting kind of Indian style all around him. Maybe the whole room is pressed wall to wall with people, and all of a sudden, here, what in the world? What is that? And he comes right down into the presence of Almighty God. He comes right down into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever you see this man that is sick of the palsy, can't walk, can't get up, can't run, can't do anything, the crowd of cynics, the crowd of the critics, the same ones that fill our pews, the same ones that are in our neck of the woods, are sitting there, and they heard these words. thy sins be forgiven thee. All of a sudden, this man that can't walk has been addressed by the master. Brother Woody, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ has acknowledged that he's in the room now. And he says unto him, hey, Woody, your sins are forgiven. You said, well, he needs to be able to walk. He's paralyzed. He needs legs underneath him. But God, let me just quickly say this. This is not even part of the message, but God's saying, go there, we're going to go there. You will never walk for God, Brother Job, until your sins are first forgiven you. That's just the way that it works. So he must then say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He's got to forgive you of your sins before you can ever walk in faith with him. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Am I right or wrong, Troy? Say amen. Amen. That's the way that this thing works. But Robbie, look in 5 and 6, we've got these cynics and these critics are just hanging out. And those cynics and critics, they're an obstacle to getting people to the Lord. They'll say, why'd you do this and why'd you do that? How come? They question everything around God and around his economy, around the whole of the church. They want to know what's going on, Brother Woody. Never offering a solution, never offering to go knock on a door themselves, never offering to drive a van themselves, never offering anything other than their own criticism, their own cynicism, their own critical spirit. And that becomes an obstacle to the greater growth of the church. Because here they are. Look what they said. When the Lord said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee in verse number 5. But the Bible said, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now listen, Brother John, it didn't say they were talking among themselves. Does it say that in anybody's Bible that they sat there talking among themselves? No, it said that they were reasoning in their hearts. You say, why are you bringing that up? Because we got one, my friend, Brother Preston, that is the discerner of the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows that heart. And look what he says. Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your hearts? He must have saw the look on their face. He saw the dismay about their personage. He knew the cynicism in their heart and the critical spirit that they have. And he said, what's up with you guys? Why are you reasoning these things in your heart? Is it easier to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk, or the son, thy sins be forgiven thee? But look what it says. And it said, and whenever this critical crowd, he said, why reason these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise, take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. I want to give you just a few things really quickly to help you to overcome these obstacles. Brother Tam, stay determined. Stay on the subject. Stay determined in your faith. Stay there and walk there, live there, work there. Do not waver on that. Brother Robbie, do not deter. Don't throw the van keys in the room and say, preacher, I'm not driving that van anymore. Stay the course. You stay determined, knowing that we've got to get this man to Jesus. He's a paralytic. He can't get there himself. We've got to stay the course and stay focused and stay determined. How many of us, raise my hand first, had got right to the point of just throwing in the towel? You said, does that happen? How recently did it happen for your very own pastor? Somebody spit it out last Sunday. Sorry you missed it. No, you're probably better that you did miss it. I got so low, and I brought it up Wednesday night. It come out in the message. Every man of God that's ever put on the suit and wore the cloak of a priest or a rabbi or a master, a teacher, whatever you want to call him, they found their own cave. Look at Elijah right after the prophets of Baal. Where'd he go? I mean, he just had one of the greatest victories that ever were. There it comes. Where's he at? He's in a cave. Where's David? In a cave. They're under juniper trees. They're under gourds. They're in caves. They're hiding. They're here. They're there. Let me tell you, my friends, there's no place for us to quit. And God, until God relieves us of our duties, there's nowhere for us to sit back. Yes, there's going to be obstacles. And yes, God's shown me some of mine. And bless God, with his power, Brother John, I'm going to overcome them. And I'm going to stay determined to see what God's going to do with this place around here. Because the work's not done yet. He's not told me to leave. Why would I leave until he said I was done? I'd be leaving in the flesh. Then y'all would be hurt. And I would be hurt. And the next congregation that God ever showed me would be hurt. Why? Because I wasn't supposed to be there. I was supposed to be here. But brother, I got low. Some of you that are close to me, especially my dear wife, she lives with me. She knows how low I can get. She knows the struggles. She knows the burden. She knows my heart better than anybody in here. It's my wife, and she sees me down there. And that's nothing more than an obstacle. But I'm going to stay determined. I want you to stay determined. These four, I remember Brother Larry Johnson, Randy Johnson. He preached and he gave these four names. You remember that? I don't know who they were, Larry, Moe, Curly, and Jody. I don't know. But each one of them had a place. Each one of them had a purpose. Each one of them had to stay determined. Do you realize what would happen if we had Chris or we had Ryan in a bedroll, we're trying to get them to the Lord, and it's me and you and Jody and Jake, or me and you and Joe and Robbie going to get them in there. We got to get them up on the roof and let them down into the Lord's presence. Do you know how hard that's going to be if I don't show up? Now you and Joe and Robbie going to have to reposition. Then all of a sudden you fall ill. It's going to be up to you two now to do it. How hard would that be? We said, what are you getting at, preacher? It takes every one of us to get people to the Lord. It takes us all holding up our corner of the bargain and hold up our corner of the deal. Stay determined. Stay the course. Stay on subject. Don't get distracted is the next thing. Don't get distracted. You get there and you see the crowd. Well, let's just run with them for a while. Running with the crowd will get you in trouble, my friends. If there's one of me and four of them, who's going to persuade who? Who's going to convince who? I'm telling you what, I'm getting in trouble when that happens because they're going to persuade me. I'm going to be guilt by association. I'm going to be just as bad as they are because I'm in the middle of that mess. Saturate yourselves and surround yourselves with faith-based things and faith-based people. If you go to the lake with somebody, Ryan, taking out your canoe or your kayak, and every time you go, whoever you're with is cussing like a drunken sailor in a foreign port, you need somebody else to go fishing with. Why? You say, well, I need to go be with him so I can win him to the Lord. Maybe so. And if that conversation ever presents itself, then do that. But if it's day in and day out and it's just the way that it is, you might have to do a little separating from it. You said, that's just in his fishing. No, that's in your relationship, young people. You're dating somebody that's got nefarious means and measures to take you down a road of debauchery and take you out into sin. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? If he's got ideas that you don't, yours are based on the Lord Jesus Christ, yours are based on faith, things that his is not, you need a new boyfriend. That's just the way that works. Same way for her. If that girl's got other ideas and you're trying to walk close to the Lord, you better put some distance there, and you better do it rather quickly. Don't get distracted from the greater thing, which is we need the Lord, and we need to get into his presence. Now, the next one's don't get discouraged. I'm preaching to myself. I get discouraged. I'm not going to lie to you, Jen. I get discouraged. I get discouraged when I look around and I see places where people used to sit, and they're not there anymore. Immediately, you know what happens to my mind? I'm thinking they're at home. Now, they may be at another church, and if they are, so be it. God bless them there and bless that church. But if they're not, if they're nowhere, they're not anywhere accounted for, Brother Woody, as far as the religious realm and being in God's economy and in his house somewhere, then we need to be praying for them. We need to go seeking them. Amen. But what happens, Brother Woody, we'll get discouraged.
Go ahead, brother.
And you know who discourages? It's in that sixth and seventh verse. Those that's always seeing the dirty. They're always seeing the part that they want to have their hand in. Well, preacher, we shouldn't be doing it that way. Okay, well, offer me your, I don't know. We shouldn't be doing it that way. Well, tell me how to do it. Well, I don't know, but not that way. Have you prayed about it? No. Well, then why are you telling me this? We're always going to have those, Brother Woody, that's always got another idea. And that sometimes will factor into us. But bless God, we can't let that get us distracted. We cannot let it get us discouraged, because then we're going to sit back and do nothing.
Amen.
Anybody can do that. Sir Edmund Burke said, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is that good men everywhere do nothing. That's all we got to do, sit on our haunches and do nothing. Evil's going to take us. It'll prevail. There's always going to be the cynics. There's always going to be the critics. There's always going to be the naysayers. But Brother Chris, don't let them discourage you. Stay in there. Stay focused. Stay determined. Stay the course, Brother Scott. You said, what's the last one? This is the last one. I'm going down to close out that little, it's not a parable, it's actually a story that is a true story. A parable sometimes may not be exactly true. It's an earth, well, it could be earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but he said unto him, arise, take up thy bed, in verse number 11, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God and said, we've never saw it on this fashion. My last one is probably the most important of all the others combined. Stay devoted. Stay devout. You say, what is devout? Stay holy. Greg, stay holy. He said, well, it's hard to live holy in an unholy world. You better believe it is. That's why you better watch where you walk. Watch where you go. And for those of you that's fanning, I'm sorry. I know it's hot in here. I really do. We got the bid. We got one of the three new heat pump or air conditioners or whatever you call it. We got the first one of three put in. And I know you're hot and you're fanning. We're going to be out of here in just a minute. Just bear with us. We put it on 65 when we get here. By the time we leave, it's about 77. They just can't keep up with almost 300 people. Don't get distracted by the heat. That worked right in. Don't get distracted. You say, well, I'm not coming back next. Don't get discouraged. We're going to fix them. It all factors right in here. Stay devout. Stay holy. Stay in your own place. Somebody sent me a message this week. I don't remember who it was. Might have been Sharon Winger. I don't remember. I got so many messages from so many of you. For those that don't know, Brother Tam, last week I got up, couldn't preach, didn't preach. Just read some scripture. We went home. We beat the Methodist. We beat the Presbyterian. Everybody to the restaurants. They were so happy. No, they weren't happy because the pastor wasn't happy. But somebody sent me a message. It may have been you. It said, fight for your pea patch. That's straight out of the Bible too, by the way. Brother Woody, God used that one little message, that one little four-line or five-line text, fight for your pea patch. Man, God showed me some things through that one little message, and it encouraged my heart. Brother Jody, there are going to be obstacles. They're worse for that man that was sick of the palsy. He can't get down there, but God used others to get him there. God's going to use you. I know he's going to. Robbie, I know he's going to use you and Miss Robin. I know that. You said, we're not even members here. I don't care. You're still a part of this body. You're still here. You were in our Easter play. You were in our Christmas play. You're here. You're on the pew. I don't care if you're a member here or not. I'm not begging anybody to join. But bless God, stay where you're at and work at it and stay devout. Stay holy. Stay upright, Brother Joe. You've got two beautiful little girls that's depending on you to be the father in their life. Don't lose track of what that means. You're a preacher. You're a husband, you're a daddy, you're a son, you're a friend, you're a brother, you're so much. Stay holy, stay devout, stay upright. As we stand and Brother Scott comes and Mr. Macy makes her way over to the piano today, I'm going back to the beginning. I want to ask you purposefully in your heart. Don't have to answer it with a raised hand. You don't have to acknowledge it with a broken lip. You don't have to tell me nothing. You don't have to mimic the words. But do you have obstacles? Is there something before you right now that you're trying to overcome and you just don't seem to have the faith? You don't seem to be able to muster up the courage to take that thing on. Be of good courage. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. We're overcomers, Ryan, because he overcame it. Stay the course. Brother Joe, stay devout. Stay holy. Don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. Stay determined. Do the things that God told you to. Yeah, the crowd and the condition, everything going to try to play into our obstacles and to getting us and me where I need to be and others to where we need to be. But we can get there, Robbie. I believe that in my heart.